How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 236 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head into iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast. Once you're on there, you can leave a review if you're feeling super generous. If you enjoy the show, like I always say on the show now, the reviews really help. So if you enjoy the show and you have 2 minutes of spare time and you're meandering around iTunes and you happen to be on the Locked On Thunder page, it's always nice to leave a review. They actually really help with the rankings there on when you see those podcast rankings. They really help, and the 5 stars plus the reviews always really help. So if you're feeling super generous, you can do that. You can log on to normantranscript.com, check out my blog, Thunder Road. That's under the sports tab on the site, or you can just go to normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road, or you can go to my Twitter. You can check stuff out there. It's just, there's so many ways to look at content today because it's 2017, and that's how 2017 works. I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays now, and today, on the other line, I had to actually contact the franchise 107.7, the radio station this guy works for. I had to contact them, and there was some serious tampering going on to get this guest, but it's John Hamm.
I'm glad the negotiations were successful, you know, because it's rare. It's like a solar eclipse to get me to come on your podcast.
You know, what's a sad fact? So, you're a baseball fan, right?
Mostly 20, 30 years ago, but yeah, baseball.
Uh-huh. You know of the Bobby Bonilla contract, I assume?
Oh, yes.
Everyone knows of the Bobby Bonilla contract. The next time there is a solar eclipse, Bobby Bonilla will still have 11 more years of getting paid by the Mets.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
It's amazing. It's the greatest contract ever.
Ever since the, who was it, the owner of the the Spirits of St. Louis, or was it the Kentucky Colonels that got a percentage of the NBA television revenue for all those years?
Oh yeah, that was St. Louis, I think.
I think
you're
right.
Do you know who the play-by-play guy was for that team?
Bob Costas.
Well, I guess you know. Or you just had the luckiest, most confident guess ever.
Or, yeah, I've seen the 30 for 30, and I remember that part.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, no, you're 30.
Yeah, you're exactly right, though. I think it was them, and, they got a percentage of the NBA's TV deal for a number of years. I think that they finally, like, bought out the rest of the – I think the NBA bought that out recently, but classic. That was another sweet deal.
Another classic way that the Flint, Michigan Tropics got screwed.
Yeah, well, what they get for, what, trading a washing machine?
Was that what it was? I watched that movie, like, as I was going to sleep for the first time in, like, a while, and I was, like, half asleep during it, and there was something. There was a washing machine joke in there.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was Woody Harrelson's character was traded for a washing machine. It's been a while since I've seen it.
There was probably some tampering with Andre 3000 in that movie. Like, he just switched on to the Spurs at the game before they went to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, there's got to be some amount of tampering there.
Highly suspicious.
Want to talk about the real tampering thing that honestly doesn't technically concern the Thunder, but is still a Thunder centric storyline?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about Michael Wayne.
Tamper.
let's talk about Michael Wayne.
Yeah.
Paul George, is I'll give the background just in case people haven't really been paying attention for the last 2 days, because I think even if you're an intense enough basketball fan to listen to a team-centered podcast in the middle of August, it's still possible that you've turned it off and are maybe you're on full baseball mode now. Maybe you're on vacation. Maybe you just don't really care about any news that could possibly break in August because you're just a normal human being. Anyway, the Lakers are being investigated by the NBA. It was first reported by Peter Vesey, who was formerly of TNT, formerly of the New York Post, and who I used to read all the time growing up. But it was reported by Peter Vesey that the Lakers were being investigated for tampering with Paul George. The next day, the NBA actually came out with a statement. They were investigating the Lakers in a tampering investigation, which was requested by the Pacers, which is normal. For the most part, the NBA doesn't do tampering investigations unless it's actually there's a complaint filed by a team. And this time, the Pacers actually filed a complaint. I learned after the fact that the Pacers like made it clear that they had at least planned on filing a complaint way before even they traded him to the Thunder. So like this is something that's been going on for 2 months, and it just hasn't really been reported until now. Anyway, this is unrelated to the Thunder if we're talking about in a literal sense. But now that Paul George plays for the Thunder, there's something there. And this is kind of a weird story, right?
Yeah, it is. And I've talked a little bit about it today and talked to others, just, you know, kind of laying out. And I've been tweeting a few things about it. Tampering in the NBA, it's a shocker, right? I'm floored. I'm flabbergasted that such a thing could be allowed to happen.
Yeah, how could it possibly happen when Jeff Teague is coming to exact dollar agreements before July 1st?
There was a story, I didn't read it because I think it was in Spanish, but where Ricky Rubio, his agent, told him before the trade to Utah that, hey, they're going to sign Jeff Teague. And this was before free agency started. So you take that into account. And we're just looking at recent history here. I mean, you think Chris Paul, you know, how else did he convey to the Clippers that he was going to go to the Rockets without the Rockets having any idea about this, right? Some of this is just kind of how it works. I think the tampering rules are more in place for the more blatant, egregious offenses. And other like salary cap circumvention, but I mean, the NBA can't possibly police everything.
No, it can't, especially not players. I mean, technically the NBA has set a precedent where players can't tamper with other players, and that's how they operate. That's how it works in practice. But technically it is illegal for players to tamper with players. Like technically that is a thing that's illegal, but it's just not a thing that it's a precedent they set up under David Stern, and they're not going to continue under Adam Silver. And they are going to continue under Adam Silver. I mean, and I would – tampering is really hard to prove, which is why I think you talk about the more egregious times where it's like, okay, you blatantly did this. Like the Atlanta Hawks send out an email to season ticket holders where you sent this out to thousands of people and you put Chris Paul's and Dwight Howard's names in there. That is tampering. It's not – there's no malintent in those situations. Like there's nothing – It's clearly a operational slip up in those sorts of situations. You know, it's not like that's like a devious thing. It's not like putting Chris Paul's name in a letter to season ticket holders is going to make Chris Paul be like, oh, you know, I wasn't thinking about Atlanta, but then when I saw my name in that email, I was like, I have to go there. Like that's not a thing. That's an operational slip up, and they got undisclosed fines. And my educated guess is they were not fines that are going to blow anybody out of the water. Like, they're probably small penalties, and that's it. And they should be small penalties, because those are stupid mistakes, not, like, intentionally going around the rules. But if you're intentionally going around the rules, then there are greater penalties. It's just really, really hard to prove.
It is. Now, if you want a Thunder-specific example, a couple of years ago, the Knicks were fined $25,000. Because Phil Jackson, I think it was during his intro press conference, was talking about coaching candidates and mentioned Derek Fisher, who at that point was still under contract with the Thunder. So, you know, that was at a press conference where he clearly, you know, said it, and, you know, complaint was filed. And I'm sure that was under the, I would guess that was filed under the idea of, look, if these are the rules, let's apply them then. And, you know, again, $25,000 was the hand slap that Phil Jackson got for that.
Man, that's a weird one. That's like such a weird tampering penalty, considering, like, I can't think of another tampering penalty that went from like a, that was like a player changing roles.
Right. Yeah. No, this one was pretty unique. And again, it was probably Phil just talking kind of off the cuff. You know, he didn't stare into the camera and say, please, Derek, retire from the Oklahoma City Thunder when your contract expires and come coach my team. I mean, it was just sort of an off the cuff comment, but, and
you
that's
know, the
typically
NBA,
how it works.
The NBA should give that money back to Phil. Not that he needs it, but like,
right.
After seeing the way that went in New York, they should have been like, you know what? It's all right. You can take it back.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll call it even. There was penalty enough in just everything that happened.
Right. Yeah. There's, I mean, other examples, apparently Michael Malone, I mean, just let slip again in the stupid press, you know, asking all of these questions and costing these guys money. Right. Michael Malone, when he was coaching the Kings, I guess he mentioned Chris Paul's name just offhand. Like he would look good in a Kings uniform, you know, find an undisclosed amount. The Minnesota Timberwolves, I believe, filed tampering charges against Brooklyn whenever the Nets signed Andre Kirilenko, linking up all the Russia connections. And I don't think anything ever came of that. So, like you say, it's unless there's a paper trail, it's so difficult, if not impossible, to prove this stuff.
Yeah, that is what makes it tough. It's the paper trail. Because the reason that a lot of people thought the Kirilenko thing was going to happen is because he opted out of a deal. I might be a little shady on these numbers, so forgive me if I'm a little bit off, but he opted out of a deal that was around $10 million that would pay him,
I believe that's right.
2013. Because mm-hmm. this was the year they traded for KG and all of them.
The super team, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think he opted out of a deal that was going to pay him around $10 million, $11 million a year, something like that, for 1 year. And he opted out of that player option, or didn't pick up that player option, and instead went and signed with the Nets for a little bit more than $3 million. And
yep.
There were other reasons why he could have done it. The Nets were probably going to be a better team than the Timberwolves that year, and maybe he wanted to live in Brooklyn over living there, and he had, you know, he maybe wanted to play for Russian ownership because Prokhorov was there, but, you know, a lot of people thought intuitively, okay, well, there's some rubles being thrown around here. And honestly, for something like that, there would be a paper trail. And the NBA found nothing there. The NBA
right.
did a pretty thorough investigation into it. It's not like they were just like, that's ridiculous, and wrote it off. Like, there was a pretty thorough investigation into the Kirilenko signing, and they didn't find anything there. So that's at least something where they've had an investigation, didn't really have anything. There's never been like a super, super egregious thing. But let's talk about the actual Paul George situation for a second, mm-hmm. because there are people talking about Magic Johnson's appearance on Jimmy Kimmel, where he says, you know, if I see him, I'm going to be wink, winking, like, and then, you know, he starts winking like crazy. And that's not really enough. Like, maybe that's like a slight fine, but like I see people tweeting about major penalties for the Lakers. It's like, no, the only way there's going to be a major penalty is if there is something that's already there. And you know what? My guess, and this is based on from talking to some people, this is based on from just knowledge of the way these things normally work out, is at the most, this is going to be a light penalty for the Lakers, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of my hunch as well, because you're right. It would take something a lot more than what happened on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Now, maybe the Pacers, maybe they heard something through the grapevine. Again, I'm just kind of speculating here. Maybe they heard something. Maybe they strongly have good indications that something untoward happened in that situation. And, you know, again, maybe it's a situation like with the Thunder, like, hey, if these are the rules, then we're going to try to apply them here. But no, I mean, some of the extreme penalties we're talking about here, I mean, millions of dollars of fine, loss of draft picks, suspension of executives, barring Paul George from playing for the Lakers by telling the Lakers you can't acquire him. I mean, that would require, I mean, like mountains of paperwork, like a long trail of paperwork that showed, you know, something deliberate between George and the Lakers. It would take something like that, and I have doubts that that actually exists.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And you know what? You know what's funny about this? I've been thinking about Jeff Teague a lot, John Hamm.
Like, really?
Isn't Jeff Teague, if the Pacers want to file complaint, like tampering complaints, isn't Jeff Teague the one who they could totally get? Like, Jeff Teague, the money on the Jeff Teague deal was reported in June. Free agency starts in July. That's how we know they came to the deal early. It was reported super early. Like, there's no question. He was talking to them before. Like, it's funny that, it seems to me like because it's Paul George, it's a thing, you know?
Sure.
I mean, it's because it's Paul George. And if Paul George were CJ Miles, then this wouldn't be a thing.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, because, teams don't tamper with players of that ilk, right? It just – now, I'm going to take that back a little bit because this wasn't exactly tampering, but it was cap circumvention with Joe Smith back in the day. But that was a desperate owner, and that was just a desperate situation. Typically, you know, your tampering involves, like, your star players or your star executives, your star head coaches. If someone's tampering with, I don't know, Fred Hoiberg right now, probably no one's going to file any charges, I would think.
Yes, I think that's true. We could tamper with Fred Hoiberg. We should get him on Locked On Thunder. Maybe we'll get him on Locked On Bulls. Get him with Hike in there.
That's right. That's right. Let's see if we can stir something up.
Any strong reaction to Michael Winger? Woj reported on Sunday, Michael Winger, assistant GM of the Thunder, is close to a deal with the Clippers for their GM job. And he, not a shocker. Winger has been a respected exec for a while. He's been with the Thunder for 7 years. He's very valued within the organization. He's got a strong voice inside of it. I think Troy Weaver, because he's a little bit older, Troy Weaver kind of gets the first mention when people talk about the Thunder's assistant GM, but Winger is that same position. And he's a lawyer. He's a cap guy. He's in his 30s. Like, this is – he's going to be one of the younger GMs. Is he going to be the youngest GM in the league?
I'm
certainly
going to
be one of the younger ones.
Because yeah,
Rob Hennigan's out.
Right.
He's a couple years younger than Presti.
Yeah, and think about this.
Oh, no, Kobe Altman. Kobe Altman is younger than
Okay. Him. Well, yeah, I mean, for however long until Dan Gilbert loses his mind again. yeah, I mean, think about this. I mean, Winger has been around the NBA since he was 25 years old. And that's when he was working in the Cleveland front office with Danny Ferry. So, no, you hit it right on the head. I mean, obviously, Troy Weaver is the guy that gets mentioned a lot. But Michael Winger, you know, from everything I understand, was the salary cap guy in the background. Now, Amanda Green is someone else in the front office who obviously has a big understanding of that as well. And there's other people. But, yeah, I mean, this is just, I mean, again, sort of the Thunder family tree spreading out, as it were. There have been, you know, other people that come through the Thunder front office or through the developmental league and wind up elsewhere. And this is just another example of that.
They have a lot of voices in their front office too. Like there's still, I don't know what they're going to end up doing. I don't know. Cause you don't need two assistant GMs. Some teams have two, some teams have one. It really just kind of depends on who, like what your front office personnel is, what the actual staff is like. If you have two people qualified enough to do it, sometimes you'll just do it to do it. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, two guys complement each other well at that position. So you have two guys with two different skill sets and they complement each other well. There are a million different reasons why you would or why you wouldn't do it like that. But I wonder what they're going to end up doing. I know they posted for a front office job a few days ago and they wanted someone with cap expertise, which is obviously something that they're losing in Winger they're extremely close to losing probably. And he's gotten the offer from the Clippers, according to Woj, and it's a promotion. They're close mm-hmm. to a deal, so I think we can talk about this like it's a thing that's an inevitability. So I'm curious to see what they end up doing because they've got strong voices. They've got Wilkes and they've got Will Dawkins and they've got Paul Rivers, who's director of basketball operations, And those are some people who they can look at to, you know, maybe they promote each of them into the previous one's job. You know, I've got like Amanda Green, like you said, who is also a lawyer. You know, Winger's a lawyer, and Amanda Green's a lawyer, and she's somebody who can at least take on more responsibilities in that role, because there are a lot of people who have a ton of respect for her. But there are a lot of voices inside this front office. There's a lot of different people there, and it's going to be interesting to see just kind of the domino effect this is going to have on the rest of the organization, or if everyone just kind of stays in the same role. Maybe they hire a lower level cap guy who can help with that kind of stuff. Maybe they promote Amanda Green or give her some more responsibilities. And everyone just kind of stays in the same role, but just assumes a little bit more responsibilities. Like, there are a lot of different ways to go about this because they have like a slightly bigger front office than usual.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, when you talk about, you know, you mentioned Michael Winger, Amanda Green. I mean, these people have, you know, law degrees. They interned at, I don't know, Crane, Poole and Schmidt or some prestigious law firm along the way. Like, these are people that could open the collective bargaining agreement and actually like read all the verbiage and understand it. Whereas there's some people out there like me that understands the salary cap, but I don't read the legalese very well because I don't have a law degree. You know, thankfully Larry Kuhn's FAQ exists, that I can really, you know, kind of piece this all together. I do have to fall back on the legalese occasionally, but you know, those are the kind of people that, you know, the Thunder, like, they go after qualified people. Right. So it is going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. But yeah, I mean, just sort of the idea that, I mean, there's people that have different levels of expertise there. I don't know Troy Weaver's, you know, cap experience, but from what I understand, from what Lee Jenkins and other have talked about, you know, he's obviously very involved in building relationships with the players, and is kind of maybe involved more in that degree and probably not stressing out as much about salary cap and luxury taxes and what have you.
I'm really curious. You know what's an interesting trend in the NBA these days? Maybe it's not that interesting to most people, but it's kind of interesting to me. GM is not the position it used to be.
Like, right.
Winger is GM, but GM has become, like, general manager is so 1995. Nowadays, it's all about president of basketball operations. I mean, Winger's going to the Clippers, but like, he's still under Lawrence Frank as president of basketball ops. And there's still Jerry West there. Like, it's, I don't know what the chain of command is going to be there. I think it's safe to say that Lawrence Frank is going to be higher. And I'm really interested to see like what it's going to be like in that front office. Like, Doc was kind of stripped of his front office responsibilities, but he's still a strong voice within the organization. Ballmer's a strong voice in the organization. Like, there are a lot of loud people inside the Clippers or front office right now too. And like, you look at, I mean, Sam Presti is a GM and he's the guy who kind of presides over the front office, but you look at so many other of these organizations. I mean, you look at, you know, we talked about the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks hired a GM. They hired Scott Perry when they lost Phil Jackson, but Scott Perry is still kind of the number two because Steve Mills got promoted to president of basketball ops and Steve Mills is still running it. Like, from GM to president of basketball ops, like, there's just president of basketball ops is really the job now in the vast majority of these organizations. You know, you look at, you know, Doc Rivers was like that with the Clippers. Now it's Lawrence Frank. And you got a lot of coaches who kind of share that role. You know, you got Tibbs in Minnesota. You got Stan Van in Detroit. You had Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta. Pop has that, but the Spurs are an exceptional situation, obviously. Pop mm-hmm. isn't really running the front office. He's just kind of there when they need him. And RC is really doing all of that. But that's obviously an exceptional organization. But you look around the league, and it's really president of basketball ops is kind of the job now as opposed to general manager.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, even think about it. At the turn of the century is when the website realgm.com came to life. Because at that point, I mean, when people thought of making trades, they thought general manager. Therefore, you know, real general manager. It's almost like now, and maybe it's always been this way, but maybe it's just kind of evolved more. But you're right. It's the president or vice president of basketball operations, whatever title they hold. Like, they sort of have the overall idea of how to build a team, and the general manager is more of the deal maker. It's kind of how I see that now. Because you're right. I mean, it's not just, you know, it's not like the old days where Jack McCloskey was the Pistons GM and, you know, he sort of had control over everything. It really has morphed over time.
Yeah, it's just doesn't really mean anything, to be honest. It's just an interesting trend that's happening in the league. I think it's a way, with so much more money, I think it's more plausible now, too. You can pay a guy GM money, and you can pay a guy president of basketball operations money. You used to kind of see guys double in those jobs. You know, you'd be GM slash president, GM slash VP.
It's not, which is, not really which is Presti's now. Title. Yeah, Presti's title with OKC, he holds both. So, yeah, sort of the idea maker of the team and the deal maker of the team.
Yeah, if the internet were invented today, it would be like realpobo.com.
That's right. Doesn't roll off the tongue nearly as well.
No, it's not as good. But maybe that's just because we haven't heard it.
Right.
Maybe if it started off as realpobo.com and not realgm, then realgm would sound weird.
Then it would, yeah. That sounds really close to realhobo.com, which is a totally different site.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is derailed. Let's what do you got, John?
Oh, nothing at the moment. I'm just waiting for what training camp will be opening in about a month.
Yeah, September 26th, right?
That sounds right, and I assume Media Day will be...
The 25th, I think. Although it's possible it's on that Friday. They did it on that Friday before. I'm not 100% sure. I think it will be on the 25th, but it's possible that it will start... The Media Day would be the 22nd. I think last year it was the 23rd. It was that Friday, so it's possible they do it again. Some teams do it the Friday, some teams do it the Monday.
Yeah. And the Thunder, of course, started early because they had to jump overseas for some preseason games. And that was part of why they had theirs on Friday and everyone else started on Monday. So, yeah, it's basically just trying to spend this next month kind of catching my breath before everything just rears back up again.
Do you remember? I don't remember what I was going to say. Screw it. I was going to make a joke, and then it totally came out of my head. In my defense, I didn't get much sleep last night.
It's probably for the best. So,
oh, it's definitely for the best. Oh, I remember it now. I was going to say, do you know the other name for Media Day?
What's that?
Russell Westbrook's favorite day of the year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He gets to talk to us all day.
Yeah. You know, he's fired up about that.
Oh, he's excited. So you can follow John on Twitter. John M. Hemp. Has anyone botched the punchline as badly as I just did? I forgot it in the middle, then said, oh, I remember, and then came back in, and then told a C-minus joke.
But with the power of audio editing, you can fix all that.
I can, except I'm not a very dedicated human being, and I have no shame on top of that. Being not caring and having no shame is like a really horrible combination to have if you want to be funny on a podcast. Yeah, so this is just going to be there in full. Remember, I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday. Head out to iTunes. Subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. Leave a review. It helps with the rankings a ton. Please do that. Give five stars also if you're feeling nice. And questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter. At Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to performancetranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. Follow John on Twitter. Did I say this already? Did I give your handle?
Go ahead and give it again.
John M. Ham. Ham with two M's. M with one M. And that's it. I have nothing else.
Sounds good.
Back Thursday. Until then. Locked On Thunder is locking up.